Genesis 7, going to begin reading here in verse 1, and we're going to read the entire chapter. It's just 24 verses as we continue here with the life of Noah. Noah was a real man. He was a man that loved the Lord, a serious man, and God used him in a great way. Don't miss that, you know, as we think of these cartoons and these pictures of, you know, this man with a beard on a boat waving to everybody. There's more to his story than that. We'll see that tonight. So let's stand together if you're able to stand. If not, remain seated. And let's read responsively through the chapter. You'll help me out here. So I'll begin reading in verse 1. Notice we read, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him.
Amen.
And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain that was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah, and Shem, and Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They, and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah, into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The flood was 40 days upon the earth. The waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed, and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. The waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle, and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark.
Amen.
And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. It's a sobering chapter, isn't it?
Amen.
Sobering. Let's pray. Father, please bless as I preach your word. Lord, I recognize tonight, once again, I need thee. Every time I enter in this pulpit, every moment of the day, I need thee.
Praise the Lord.
Lord, even beyond what I realize.
Amen.
So I ask this evening for a fresh filling of thy spirit. I pray that your word would go forth with power and clarity, and Lord, we would get a hold of this truth that I believe you've led me to preach this evening. So please remove any distractions from this room and from our minds this evening. Lead and direct everything I say, every word that comes out of my mouth, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Back when Genesis chapter 6 began, the Lord introduced us to a man by the name of Noah. From the days of Seth, who we see mentioned in chapter 4 and verse 26, who was Adam and Eve's third son, was born when the earth was merely 130 years old, to the days of Lamech, seven generations later, Noah's father, who was born when the earth was 874 years old, the Bible simply breezes through the lineage of seven generations. Now, noting that they're long generations. I didn't do the exact math, but if you see those seven generations that are listed from Seth to Lamech, you'd find it's about 800-year average lifespan. But the Bible makes not much more than a mere mention of each of those people there from Seth to Lamech until we get to Noah. All of a sudden, when we get to Noah, God stops breathing over the names of these people, and God decides to, excuse the language, park it for a little bit, and tell us some things about this man. The life of Noah is recorded for us from Genesis chapter 5. If you'd look at verse 19, I believe it is, or maybe it's 29 there, at any rate, where his birth is recorded. There it is in 29. All the way through Genesis chapter 9, where his death is recorded, God gives us four chapters on this man. Why? You know, the record of Noah and his life is very, very important.
Amen.
God obviously wants us to understand some things.
Amen.
And I believe we could find the importance of his life in four reasons. This isn't the message. This is a freebie. Number one is this. Noah's life is important because of the condition that the world had become. Where the world was, from the time that sin entered into the world in Genesis chapter 3 to the days of Noah, just 1,056 years later, man had progressively degenerated into a state of utter wickedness.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says.
Right.
Look at chapter 6 and verse 5, if you would. The Bible says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Look at chapter 6 and verse 12. "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." These days were so bad that centuries later, the Lord Jesus Christ himself likened the last days, which would be evil, we know some from 2 Timothy chapter 3, to the days of Noah. That's how evil they were. So Noah's life is important, number one, because of the condition that the world had become. Number two is this, because of the relationship that Noah had with God.
Amen.
The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Oh, I know he wasn't the only guy that walked with God, because in Genesis 5:22, Enoch did. But certainly Noah found grace in the eyes of God. The Bible is very clear that there's only one way to find grace in the eyes of the Lord, and that is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Romans 3:24 tells us, "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." My point is this, Noah knew God.
Amen.
He knew the Lord. He trusted in the coming Messiah. He placed his faith in Him. He had a relationship with God.
Right.
There's a third reason his life is important. And that is because of the determination that Noah had to be faithful to God.
Amen.
If there was a time that someone could have slipped up, could have backslidden very easily, and I know you're thinking like me anyway, because it could be any time, but if there was a time that we could almost justify it, we'd say it would have been in the days of Noah.
Amen.
I mean, there wasn't a single person doing right.
Right.
Everybody was doing wrong, but Noah was determined to be faithful to God. We read in chapter 6 and verse 9, "Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God." God knew the condition of the world. He knew the relationship Noah had, and he knew Noah was a faithful man. Noah was a man that God forgive me for the expression in this context, could count on.
Amen.
Can he count on you?
Amen.
Can he count on me?
Amen.
He knew that Noah would be a man that if God told him to do something, he would do it. He would submit it to God. Over and over we read chapter 6 and verse 22. We'll get back to that in a moment. Notice, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Look at chapter 7 and verse 5. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Notice chapter 7 and verse 9. Very last phrase, as God had commanded Noah. Chapter 7 and verse 16, we read at the last, and they went in, it went in male and female, all flesh, as God had commanded him.
Amen.
He was a faithful man.
Praise the Lord.
His faithfulness is also mentioned in other places in the Bible, believe it or not. If you were to go to Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 14, God refers to Noah. Chapter 14 and verse 20, again, he refers to Noah. In the great faith chapter, chapter 11 of Hebrews in verse 7, he refers to the faith of Noah. Noah was a man that God could trust.
Amen.
And there's a fourth reason why Noah's story is important, and that is this, because of the decision God had made. God decided to do something. In Genesis chapter 6, God told Noah in verse 17, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. God says he's going to judge the earth. And by the way, he did.
Right.
He did. And Noah, God told this man, Noah, in Genesis chapter 6, that he was to make this massive ship. I'll talk about that in a moment. And he was to bring on that ship two of every land animal, male and female, and any person that would be willing to get on that ark. Why? Because God was going to bring a worldwide flood upon the earth to judge mankind. And we read after God told Noah to do all these things, we read in verse 22 of chapter 6, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he.
Amen.
And here in Genesis chapter 7, what we find is God's promise coming to fruition.
That's right.
There's a phrase I'd like for us to note this evening that I've kind of designed this message around. It's in verse 16. After years of building the ark, after years of preaching to the people of coming judgment, the day finally came when Noah, it was time for him to board the ark. And when everyone who was getting on the ark got on the ark, we read in verse 16, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. Here's the phrase, and the Lord shut him in.
Praise the Lord.
The door closed.
Amen.
That was it. Tonight I want to preach on the subject, when the door shuts.
Amen.
When the door shuts.
Amen.
You know, often we speak of a door of opportunity. You've heard that phrase. I've heard that phrase. We say there's a door of opportunity. In other words, there's a time here where the door is open, an opportunity for you and I to freely walk through, decide to make a decision for the Lord. It's a door that's wide open. It's a door that cries out to me and you, here is your chance. Here is your opportunity. Come in.
Amen. That's right. Praise the Lord.
The door is open.
Do
you know the Apostle Paul spoke of that kind of metaphor in 1 Corinthians chapter 16? Don't go there. I was going to have us go there, but for time's sake, I'll try to get there quickly. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9. He says, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries.
Amen.
He was talking about how he was in Ephesus. And he's saying, here I am in Ephesus, and I must stay here till Pentecost, because here in Ephesus, there's a great door open. There's an opportunity here for me to preach the gospel and for people to get saved. And I want to walk through that door.
Praise the Lord.
The door of opportunity.
Praise the Lord.
And he wanted to walk through it.
Amen.
But do you know that one day, those doors of opportunity will close?
Amen.
They will. They do. And when it does, it never opens again.
Amen.
Think about that. The door is open, yet when it closes, it will never open again. You know, spiritually speaking, really our life is an opportunity, is it not?
Amen.
The years that the Lord gives us on this earth are an open door, a door of opportunity. While we are alive, you and I have an opportunity, first of all, to get saved. Amen?
Amen.
To come to know Christ as Savior. But there's another door that's open for the saved person, and that is to serve the Lord with our lives.
Amen.
But understand something, saints, tonight, that once our lives are over, that door is shut.
Right.
Never to open again. And then we'll have to answer for our decisions.
Amen.
For what we did with that door.
Amen.
May I say this with all due respect, and I'm speaking to myself as well tonight. Don't be a fool.
Yeah.
Don't be a fool like those who refuse to walk through that door on the ark.
Amen.
Don't waste your opportunity.
Amen.
Let's look here some things here in Genesis chapter 7. As we consider this subject, when the door shuts. Notice number one, if you will, the preaching of Noah. You know, in Genesis chapter 6, God gave instructions to Noah about what he wanted him to do. He said, Noah, here's what I'm going to do. Noah, you found grace in my sight, and here's what I want you to do. And he went through the details of building the ark and so forth. But then notice in Genesis chapter 7, we read of God telling Noah to get on the ark. Now stop for a moment and think. That means that a lot has happened between the end of Genesis chapter 6, where God told him to build the ark, and now in Genesis 7:1, he's saying, get on the ark.
Amen.
What's happened? You say, well, you built an ark. And that's true. You remember that this ark is a massive, massive ship. 450 feet long by 75 feet wide by 45 feet tall. And it was believed that it took Noah about 80 years to build the ark. You say, how do you figure that out? Let me show you how you figure that out. You ready? Look at Genesis chapter 5 and verse 32. Notice we read, Noah was 500 years old. Do the math now. And Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So Noah had his first son when he was 500 years old. Right? Now notice chapter 7 and verse 6. We read that the flood came when Noah was 600 years old. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. How many years is that? 100 years. So from the time that his first son was born till the flood waters came, 100 years. Now look at chapter 6 and verse 18. Because when Noah was commanded to build the ark, notice there's no ark yet in chapter 6 and verse 18, we read, but with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. That means when he got the command, his sons were already married.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Right.
They were born and married. So, if they got married at 20, that means it took 80 years to build the ark.
Amen.
Everybody get that? How many are totally lost? All right, ask my wife. She got it. Amen.
Amen.
She said, I got it. It's not hard. If they got married at 30, that means 7. If they got married at 10, that means it took 90 years to build the ark. But it's about 80 years if they got married at 20. Makes sense?
Amen.
But either way, Noah and his boys, and maybe they hired help. I think they probably did. We hired people to put in our air conditioning that weren't saved to do work at the church. And he could have done the same thing. People that just wanted to make some money. Maybe so or maybe not. But my point is they spent decades building the ark. But don't miss it. Building the ark was not the only thing they did.
Amen.
It was something else they did.
Praise the Lord.
Something else Noah did.
Praise
you say, what's that? He preached.
Amen.
You say, where does it say that? Well, I'll show you. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. We're learning some things tonight. Amen?
Amen.
I hope. 2 Peter chapter 2. Notice verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 2 parallels the book of Jude. It's talking about false prophets, how they're going to be judged. And God goes through in the book of Jude and also 2 Peter chapter 2, almost word for word in some spots, how he judges. And here he's speaking of that God is going to judge these false prophets just like he judged Sodom and Gomorrah, just like he judged the angels that fell, and just like he judged in the days of Noah. But notice what he says in verse 4. For God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person. Here it is. A preacher of righteousness.
Amen.
Bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly.
Amen.
Noah was preaching.
Praise the Lord.
The preaching of Noah.
Amen.
Put yourself there back in the days of Noah. See what's happening. Watch as they're building the ark. Listen to the voice of this man that probably listened closely for 80 straight years. Preach to the people. Judgment is coming. The wrath of God is coming. God is going to destroy this world, every living creature, by a flood. Now's the time to repent of your sin. Now's the time to come to God. Get saved. Live for Him. And get on this ark before the door closes and it's too late.
Amen.
But nobody listened. Nobody. Did you know that preaching is the primary means that God has appointed to reach the heart of man?
Amen.
Now, if you think about it, stepping back and look at it, it's kind of a strange thing. A guy gets up, stands behind a wooden pulpit, and just starts letting it rip. You know, it's kind of a strange thing if you think about it. But that's what God has appointed.
Amen.
To reach the hearts of men. Preaching, 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Notice, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Amen.
And God wanted to use this man to reach the hearts of people. What did he do? He had him preach. He had him to proclaim to them that judgment is coming. Trust in Christ before the door closes. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says to Timothy, what does he tell him to do? Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Again, my point I'm trying to make is this. When God wants to reach the heart of people, when He wants to reach the lost with the gospel, what does He do? He sends a preacher. He sends a Jonah to the children of the people of Nineveh. He sends a Peter to the house of Cornelius. He sends an Apostle Paul to the cities of Iconium and Lystra and Derbe and Thessalonica and Philippi and Berea and Corinth and Ephesus. Why? To reach their hearts. How does he do it? Through the preaching of the word.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
When God wanted to reach the children of Israel, what did he do? Send preachers. Hey, he sent men like Elisha and Elijah. He sent men like Amos and Hosea and Jeremiah and Micaiah. Sometimes even unnamed preachers. But he wanted to reach the heart of the children of Israel to get them to turn from their sin. And what did he do? He sent a preacher.
Amen.
When God wanted to turn the heart of a disobedient man, a disobedient child, if you would, like David, what did he do after he sinned with Bathsheba? What did he send? Who did he send to him? He sent a preacher. By the man of Nathan, the man named Nathan, and he stuck his finger out, and I'm just using my imagination, but I can see him pointing to him and saying, "Thou art the man, David."
Amen.
King Jehoshaphat made an ungodly alliance with King Ahab. What did he do? God sent a preacher to him to warn him. And by the way, he does the very same thing with me and with you. And any preacher worth his salt today will cry out in the name of God, get saved before the door closes. Get right with God. Serve Him if you're not serving Him. Obey His word. Judgment is coming. Get right with God before it's too late.
Amen.
Before the door closes.
Right.
I wonder sometimes if we're not like those people. We just don't listen. Sometimes we get used to people's voices. I know what he's going to say. I know what he's going to do. Stand up, read the scriptures, just sit down, have prayer. Spit and holler a little bit. We go home, go to Bob Evans, and it's all good. Isn't that true, though? You get caught in a rut. That's why I think it's good to have jubilees. I think it's good to have special meetings. You may say, well, he brings preachers in here. You know why? Because I don't want you to get tired of my voice. Because some of you already have. You say, how do you know? Because you sleep during the services. It's kind of hard to hide it. It's true. I'm not trying to be mean. It's true. But first, boy, when they come in, man, amen, greatest thing since sliced bread. Praise the Lord, man. This is exciting now. Is it over yet? The preaching of Noah.
Amen.
Would to God would that would be all it took for us to do right and live for God. Just to hear the preaching.
Amen.
But it didn't work with them. So we see the preaching of Noah. But I want you to notice, secondly, the procession into the ark. Watch this now. Watch what happens here. Pretty interesting. So we're in Genesis chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. It's now time. From the end of 6 to 7, for 80 years he's preaching. He's building, he's preaching, he's building, he's preaching. Now it's done. And he says, come into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And he tells him what to do. Of every clean beast thou shalt take of thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male of his female, of fowls also, the air, by sevens. Excuse me, the male and the female to keep seed alive upon the face of the earth. Watch this, for yet seven days, mark that down, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made, I will destroy from off the face of the earth. Notice, and Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was on the face of the earth. And Noah went in. And his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood of clean beasts and of the beasts that are not clean and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. They went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, then the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. Look at verse 15. And they went in unto Noah into the ark. Two and two of all flesh wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. We'll stop there. I'd imagine that at first, I really think at first, that Noah's preaching, just like it is many times with us, was probably pretty shocking. They never heard anything. After God told them, I'm going to destroy this earth with a flood. You don't think Noah had a little bit of fervency in his voice? I'm sure he did. I mean, he went around saying, hey, get right with God, the flood is coming, get on the ark. And I would imagine that at the beginning, his preaching caused great conviction and great guilt. It probably created a great stir amongst all the people. I'd imagine it probably even bothered some people. Who is this God telling us God's going to judge us? It probably irritated them quite a bit.
Amen.
But after a while, as I said a little bit ago, I mean, think about it. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years,
right.
40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, the same message.
Amen.
Man, this guy shut up. They probably thought, this guy, Noah, yeah. Doomsdayer. Chicken Little. Sky is falling. Nothing's falling, Noah. Can you hear people talking about him after a while? There he is. I mean, they're walking to work, you know, going to the farm. They got to pass Noah in the ark, you know. Just plug your ears. Kids, plug your ears. We heard it again. Just there's the kook on the corner. That old man's been screaming about some flood for years. Flood, the flood, the flood. I ain't seen no flood. Hey, God destroying the world. Nothing's happened. He's lost his mind. He was kind of like that. I think he seemed like that person that lives in that house that's old and broken down and overgrown with weeds, and their yard looks like a junkyard, and you know, it's like that creepy house that's on the block and that has 100 cats there, and there's an old person that lives in there, we think, but nobody sees them because they never come out of the house. You know what I'm talking about, right? There's one of those every so often, right? And the kids in the neighborhood have a little story about that person, you know, like there's a dead person in that house or something like that. You know, don't go there. You know, last person went there. You know, I think Noah had that reputation. I do. I think they saw him as a nut. But watch this. All of a sudden, the last board is nailed. The last bit of pitch was spread. Everything was dry and ready to go. And Noah and his family, finally, after all those years, start walking into the ark.
Right.
They go in. You don't think people were talking about that? Hey, everybody, he finally went in. They finally finished that old thing. That huge thing. What does he think? He's a nut. I mean, he's building this. What is this thing? And they finally go, but then something really strange happened. As they're watching this, thinking, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, animals start walking two by two to the ark. What's this? That's weird. How in the world is that happening? And they start getting in. Understand, don't miss that. Noah did not have to go out and grab a chicken and grab another chicken and run into the ark. And then grab a mouse and grab another. Did you get it? No. It didn't work that way.
Amen.
It was miraculous.
Right.
God brought them to him.
Amen.
I'll prove it to you. Look, if you will, at some of these verses. Verse 9. Notice, there went in two and two. Watch this. Unto Noah into the ark. He was on there already.
Amen.
Here they come. Look at verse 15. And they went in unto Noah into the ark. Two and two of all flesh.
Amen.
It was miraculous.
Praise the Lord.
You know, it kind of reminds me when we were in Oxford, we learned a lot about cows, and because there are a lot of dairy farms up there. You know what's interesting is that some of these farms had hundreds of cows, and it's as if those cows knew exactly what time of day it was. Because they'd be all out in the field, and all of a sudden, that, let's say milking time was 4 and 4, 5 and 5, usually 12 hours apart, but let's say it was 4 o'clock. All of a sudden, at 4 o'clock, they all start walking to the barn, and they get in this line. And we used to see that, because that's weird. The farmer said, no, that's how it works. They have this instinct. Now, I don't think this was an instinct. I think this was God. I think God put that instinct in them to go, and that's what they did. Notice, from what we see in verse 4, where it says, for yet 7 days, it seems to me, as I read it, that it seems like from the time that Noah and his family and the animals went into the ark until the door shut and the rain came was 7 days. What do you think people were thinking as they watched Noah board, as they watched this miraculous procession? You would think they'd have enough sense to say, you know what, this is beyond normal.
Yeah, amen.
You know, just maybe what he's saying is true.
Right.
Because how in the world is this happening? They were seeing it unfold before their very eyes. Yet they still didn't believe.
Right.
They still didn't get on. They still didn't walk through the door. My point is this. Do you know you and I in 2018, we have seen prophecy fulfilled before our eyes.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
The regathering of Israel.
Amen.
1948 to become a nation. to see the end times prophecies of what this world would be like fulfilled before our very eyes. Israel's back in the land. The one world government is being pushed and pushed and pushed. Plans are already made for the millennial temple in Israel. We're seeing the apostatizing of the New Testament church. We are watching the very word of God unfold before our eyes.
Amen.
So why are we being like them and still waffling as to whether we're going to serve the Lord or not?
Amen.
Why?
Right.
We should be running to this open door that we have now to serve God and to live for Him. We should take the opportunity now while we still have time.
Amen.
We've not only seen the preaching, heard the preaching of God's Word, we're seeing the procession of the animals. Why don't we wake up?
Amen.
If you're here tonight and you're not saved, beg to save tonight.
Amen.
Because the door's going to shut. If you're here tonight and you're waffling about whether or not I'm going to do it, I'm not sure. Should I serve the Lord or not? And you serve for a little bit, and then you don't. And then you serve for a little bit, and you don't. Hey, get off the fence!
Amen.
What else do we need?
Right.
You know, Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew 16... He said, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the sign of the times.
Amen.
I wonder if he says that to me and to you.
Amen.
Can't you discern the sign of the times? Now's the time to go soul winning. Now's the time to visit your bus routes. Now's the time to work for God. Now's the time to get involved in the local New Testament church. Now's the time to do it.
Amen. That's right.
So, we try, want to, but I don't know what to do. Well, show up for soul winning.
Amen.
How about that? You know, the greatest thing you can do for the local New Testament church is win a soul to Christ. It's go visit someone and give them the gospel. That you can do. Anybody can do that. Well, just about anybody.
Amen.
I know some are still in beds and sick and different things like that. But I'm just saying, you can do that. Let's stop hemming and hawing.
Amen.
Let's serve the Lord before the door shuts.
Right.
Which leads me to the last and final thing. Not only the preaching of Noah and the procession into the ark, but lastly, the permanence of God's judgment.
Amen.
So here they are. Everybody's watching this thing. There he goes. Noah, Mrs. Noah. I wish we knew her name. Make something up, you know. Shem, his wife. Ham and Japheth. Nobody's looking. Here comes the animals. Here they come. I would imagine, I don't know this, we don't know for sure, but I would imagine that they might have gave one final plea. Come on.
Amen.
Come on, come on. Come on, come on!
Amen.
God said 7 days!
Amen.
7 days. 7 days. Yeah, you've been saying that for 80 years, buddy. Now it's 7 days. And all of a sudden, here comes the door. That's my imitation. That's my version of a door. But you got a better one here. You want to try it?
Right.
They're probably looking around at each other, you know. He'll be out in a little bit. He'll be out. Start walking away. These stupid people. But how long am I going to be in there with all those animals? It's going to start stinking pretty soon. I guess we'll go home. You know. Start walking away. All of a sudden, drip, drip, drip. Here comes the rain.
Amen.
Some say they've never seen rain upon the earth until that time. I don't know. And we know at the beginning in Genesis that God watered things with the mist. We understand that and all. But they were probably laughing and mocking at these people and everything that was going on until that first drop. And then I would imagine that there was a death-like hush. All of a sudden, they're... Uh-oh. And then it gets stronger. The rains increase. They hear the rumbling of the earth because the Bible says that the fountains of the deep broke up. Almost like, to me, I would think like an earthquake type thing where the waters under the crust of the earth broke open. That's part of what the flood did. And all of a sudden, all this water starts appearing, coming from everywhere. I can't imagine that scene. I really cannot. John Butler put it this way. He said, one can only imagine that when the floodwaters began to come upon the earth, that there were some who pounded on the door and begged to be let in the ark. I'm sure that happened. I'm sure there was this big surge and people running. All of a sudden, the door is shut. They knew it was open before, and they run and they start pounding on the door. Please, 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 please!
Amen.
Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. I can't imagine being that way. His family listened to that. And there's a side of us that wants to say, you had your chance. I've been telling you for 80 years, you could have gone home.
Amen.
There's that other side. It says, that's my friend that I was playing with as a boy. And there's our neighbors that could have been on.
Amen.
The door shut. Grace was no longer available. And the finality of judgment had come.
Amen.
Their opportunity was gone. I'm done right here, but I want to say this. You and I have an opportunity.
Amen.
There's a door. It's open.
Right.
If you're tonight and you're not saved, the door's open.
Praise the Lord.
Preacher says, come in.
Amen.
Spirit of God says, come. God's people say,
amen.
Come. We're watching the world. It's following exactly what the Bible says. Exactly.
Right.
Every prophecy that was fulfilled has been fulfilled to a T, and there's more to come. That's beckoning, come into the ark.
Right.
Because one day, it's going to shut. The door's going to shut. And it's over. The sad thing about it is we don't know when that door's going to shut. I don't know. You don't know when your last day on earth is. I'm thankful that I came to know Christ as Savior.
Praise the Lord.
I'm so glad. I'm in the ark. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I ain't getting out, my friend. No way. I mean, I'm buckled in. I ain't going nowhere. Don't you ain't dragging me out of this thing. How about you?
Amen.
You on the ark? How about this opportunity to serve? Doors open.
Amen.
To serve the Lord. To do something for God.
Praise the Lord.
I mean, why are we investing our lives into things that for eternity's sake really don't matter? I'm not saying sell your home and sell everything and give it all. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying make God your priority. Make His Word your priority. Serve Him. Live for Him. Make that the focus of your life.
Amen.
Because when the door shuts, there's no turning back. Opportunity's over.
Amen. That's right.
Get on the ark.
Amen.
Get on it. Tonight.
Amen.
Tonight. Don't waste another day. Don't waste another moment. The door's open. Let's serve Him.
Amen.
While the door's open. Amen. Let's pray together.